This is Michael. You're listening to Models of Masters, and I'm so grateful you're here. I'm breaking down personal stories, learned wisdom, and pieces of insight I hope can help you along your journey. Head over to my website, michaelbecker.org, for much more. And with that, let's get right into the show. With pricing, the first thing to mention is that you want to avoid competing on price if you possibly can. Now, in the early stages, say the first year or two in business, it's okay to price somewhat competitively because you have to if you want to gain an initial atomic network and start to really steal market share, especially at a quickened pace. You have to price, you almost have to undercut the competition in a lot of cases in order to do that, especially if you're in a space where taking market share quick matters. In those cases, going lower, like even free or subsidizing growth, is often the right answer. But long term, competing on price is like gambling. Eventually, the house will win because someone else will come along who's willing to fulfill much more cheaply and to sell much more cheaply just to steal business away from you. A company overseas, for example, or who is just outsourcing everything, who can afford to slash their prices on their cost of goods sold or production, can then afford to sell much more cheaply. You see this commonly in the e-commerce game on Amazon, etc. Now, the thing with this strategy is that sooner or later, you're going to get priced out. If somebody else is able to do that, another player is going to come along and do the same thing. Pricing wars are horrible for the end consumer because even though the cost of goods and services may go down, so does quality. It becomes a race to the bottom. When companies start slashing costs, it usually happens across the board, not just to the retail price. Sacrificing on production, care, and quality should never be an option. Long-term, compete on brand and value provided, not on price. Okay, let's chat on the psychology of premium pricing. So it's a little bit counterintuitive, but the better approach is to shift to a premium pricing model, especially for mid or high ticket entrepreneurs. Now, if you're worried that consumers will leave, don't be. As long as high prices are accompanied by a corresponding value bump and branding push. So there was recent research that came to light that showed that a certain segment of consumers called modern affluent buyers are more likely to buy something the more expensive it is. Entrepreneurs interested in selling on value and not on price then can focus on building brands that convey a sense of status, even luxury and glamour. For customers, higher prices turn a purchase into an investment. Brands who sell investments are playing a completely different game than those competing on price selling one-off purchases. Price is also closely tied to status. So if someone's buying a Tesla Model X, they don't want to pay $20,000 for it, right? They enjoy paying the 100 grand that it costs because it makes them feel abundant or rich by being able to do it. It also sends a signal that they want to send to the world of social cred and social status. The more expensive something is, the higher its intrinsic value becomes. Aside from the aura that's associated with a luxury brand, a $300 designer shirt should also outlast and outperform a $3 t-shirt from the dollar store. The fact is, if something is too cheap, it won't incentivize your customers to take advantage of its benefits or complete the steps required in order to succeed or just to appreciate its value. You know, we were having this conversation the other day with my startup company deliberating about what should we charge for our EEG sensing earbuds and our connected mobile app and how should we price it? And we were throwing around all different types of pricing models and having a discussion, well, should we just price them super low for the first year or two in business so that we can take market share quick? And one of the things that we were talking about is ultimately, if you price too low, like we're talking for earbuds, for instance, you know, pricing in the $20 to $30 to $40 range, it does something to your brand. It subtly, almost subconsciously communicates to your customer the value that you associate and therefore that you want them to associate with the strength of your company and of your product. If something's priced too low, people won't value it. People will discard it. They'll throw it away. They'll treat it like trash. And so if not moving to a premium pricing model, then at least pricing above or slightly above the market average for that reason. So when, where, and how should you use premium pricing? In general, you shouldn't use premium pricing if you're a new entrant in a commoditized market, if you have a product with an easily predictable or comparable price point, if you don't yet have product market fit, if you don't yet have any market share or much demand, or if you can't justify a high price point when asked or when pushed by investors, for example. You should use premium pricing if you want to distinguish your brand as luxury, if you're strong on marketing, and if you have a growing reputation. Also, if you can rationalize high prices to your customers and or if you have a market who can generally afford a higher price point, relatively speaking, for the product that you sell. So know your market, know your audience, and know your product. Okay, let's talk about pricing as it relates to coaching, consulting, and high ticket offers more specifically. And so what's actually more important than the actual number that you land on is how it's framed and how it's positioned. That means slipping in anchors and step downs, both on sales pages and on calls. And so the goal is to position your actual price so that viewers should get FOMO by passing up. On automated sales webinars, for example, you want to reveal a few anchors first. The first price posed should actually be an absurdly high value displayed as a sum of the entire value of all the deliverables added together. Then what you want to do is actually cross that out on screen and then present a new step down figure, one that feels doable, but is still significantly above what most would be able to pay. Then cross that out too, like in your animations on screen, and then shock your viewers by dropping a significantly reduced get it now price if they act within the next 5 or 10 minutes, whatever it is. That figure should feel like a huge discount or a deal. Conversely, on calls, on your sales calls, instead of revealing your desired closing price as the first number that people hear, mention a figure that represents the high end for the product. And so here's an example. Well, others sell this kind of thing for upwards of $50,000 to $80,000 in some cases, and then mention what you actually sell it for. I typically charge somewhere between $30,000 to $40,000 for the same product. And then finally, make an offer for a discounted figure just for them if they sign up by X date. But I want to get you enrolled. I see the vision. So what I'd be able to do for you if you sign up by next Monday is $24,000 in total. And then also be prepared to slash that figure by 10 to 15% if they hesitate at all, getting you to your true desired closing price. All right, let's talk a little bit about pricing for subscription models. Now, the best subscription companies usually offer a freemium option and then three tiers on top of that. Often this includes a free or very low cost version, a medium version, which is billed as the most popular, and then some sort of deluxe version. The free or cheapest tier should actually give customers enough of a taste to get value, discernible value, but not enough to sustain lasting results. That option is simply a low barrier to entry tool to get as many people enrolled into your business as possible. And so the price differential between the bottom and middle tier should feel very closable. 1.3x to 1.8x works well. The goal is to show that the middle option has obviously more value for only a little bit more money. The top tier then must deliver an exceptional experience, but should be at least 1.8x to 2x the price, or more, even 3x the price of the medium option. Together, those two bookends will subtly guide buyers toward the middle service, which should actually be your target tier. Optimizing for the middle tier benefits you in several ways. One, it allows you to focus resources on a single service level. Second, it gives you time and space to improve that top level. If people are rushed into an expensive subscription tier, but the service isn't totally polished, or if it's missing something that you had no idea that it even needed, you risk burning up valuable goodwill that you could have kept simmering at a lower tier while figuring out exactly what that top tier needed in order to be truly exquisite. And then third, customers are least likely to churn when enrolled at the middle tier. Freebie users who don't ascend in their status to the middle tier are probably just trying out a service to see what it's like, or they simply want to pay the absolute least amount for access, but they aren't concerned with quality. All right, now let's talk about high ticket product pricing. I classify high tickets as anything above $2,000 in total cost. And so the best approach for a high ticket product is to collect a substantial down payment upfront as a requirement so that you know that the client is committed and well invested. Aim to collect 60% or more of your total cost upfront. Then you can set up recurring auto payments for a duration of 3 or 6 months until the price is totally paid off. This is not a hard and fast rule. This is just a general example of what I've done in the past and what tends to work best. What about payment options? Should you have one plan or multiple choices? So there's a strategy behind either approach. Two options, especially when the overall price may vary depending on the choice, gives prospects more leeway based on their preferences and lets them feel empowered to choose how they pay. Yet a single option implies confidence in the value of your program. This is what it is. No negotiation, and does not give any wiggle room whatsoever. So that means no one will haggle, and there will be only one decision to be made. Either yes, I'm in, or no, I'm not.
That is it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. My book, Content Capitalist, is now on sale. You can visit my website, michaelbecker.org, to grab your copy. There's also a link in the description. And if you'd like to learn more about what me and my team at Neocore are building, you can visit our website, neocore.co. You can learn more there and join the waitlist for when we launch later this year.